You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new Signature Wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spell.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Today, this breakfast isn't just breakfast. It might be the first McDonald's breakfast you're having at McDonald's again. This lunch might be a weekly tradition you hadn't had in weeks. And this dinner might be the first one you bought for not just you in a while. Whatever this order is for you, McDonald's will be here to take it.
Get more of the chicken you love with a delicious McChicken sandwich for $1. And for an extra buck, add a refreshing Dr. Pepper. Dining rooms are starting to reopen in certain communities at participating McDonald's. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Okay, odds are you're one of the people in America who's better off today than 3 years ago. And now you've got some smug Democrat calling you racist and trying to jam one hand in your ass and another in your pocket. So at a time when taxes are down, jobs are up, and the economy is way up, it'd be nice if there were a candidate who had more to offer than making you pay for other people's shit. Well, the eagle has landed. Say hello to President Donald J. Trump. He ain't just making America great again. Trump's doing things no president has ever done before. He's keeping promises, packing courts, defending the border, rebuilding our military, and making Chuck Schumer cry like a schoolgirl with two skin knees. This president is 6'3" of let's put America first. And oh yeah, immigration, jobs, drug prices, nobody's got better numbers. The game has changed, and the Democrats are officially fucking crazy. So keep America great. Stand with Trump in 2020.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Good evening and welcome in, everybody. It is Wednesday night on KLRN Radio, your home for conservative talk on the grassroots level. It is Wednesday night, as I said, and that means it is your grand slam of conservative grassroots talk right here on KLRN Radio. And I get the joy of being the leadoff man, as usual. Coming up after me will be the red wine, followed by Amish and Robinson, right? Amish, no right. See, I knew I was in the right saying that. So there is some right, it's just my right. Anyway, and then America off the rails if Rick is still conscious. So do yourself a favor and stay tuned. It's going to be a great night. It's Wednesday. TV sucks anyway. Stick with us. You might even learn something. Who knows? So, what did we do last week? We did that toxic masculinity thing last week, didn't we?
Yes, sir. And you almost put me in the hospital with your fucking workout again, you little bastard.
Ah, the workout. Everybody hates the workout, but they love the workout. You know? That's the thing. People hate doing it, but they love hearing it. They want to know how to fix things. And we did work on some fixing things with our Babe of the Month, Amy Check, last week. And you can go back into the library and check that out at your leisure, because it's all on klrnradio.net. And if you want to get the full experience of live radio, you can take yourself to that address, klrnradio.net/chat, and join us in the chat room. Now, the chat room is going to be pumping tonight. It is Chat Lives Matter night. And sadly, my chat computer that I have set up next to the computer with my notes is still malfunctioning. I've just been too busy to be able to work on it and get it fixed. So, chat room, I am sorry. I will not be able to interact with you tonight. But if anything extra good comes up in there, I'm sure Rick will let me know and we can address it if we need to. So, without further ado, let's start off with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin telling the House Subcommittee on the Coronavirus on unemployment rate currently is because certain states are refusing to open up and let people get back to work. Now, Jim Jordan of Ohio asked, is it fair to say that if Democrat governors would let people go back to work in their states, we'd probably have less unemployment? Mnuchin said, I believe there's no question that we have unemployment that is that certain states are not opening up. The question that we have unemployment. No. What the hell did you write, Seymour? I believe there's no question that we have unemployment that is in certain states that are not opening up and that there are issues. Obviously, some of that has to be balanced with the medical issues appropriately. But yes, Mnuchin said, we would expect unemployment to drop significantly between now and the end of the year. And Jordan retorted with, and it's largely Democratic states. I mean, Democrats keep their states locked down, but then they complain about unemployment. Here's a novel idea. Let people go back to work, and you'll have a lot less unemployment. You'll get stronger economic growth that will build on what we have seen in the last 3 months. How many jobs have been added to the economy in the last 3 months, Mr. Secretary? Mnuchin replied, an extraordinary amount. I think, as you commented earlier, close to 10 million jobs. Jordan, 10 million jobs in the last 3 months, we're adding back. So this idea that there's not, that there is a V-shaped recovery, it's happening. It would happen a lot sooner if you didn't have Democrat governors keeping people from going back to work, Mr. Secretary. How many times have you testified in front of Congress? To which Mnuchin said, "More times than I can count." Jordan said, "I think you said 5 times earlier, and you're willing to come and talk about everything you've done and the administration's done, because what you have put in place, the programs you've recommended, and the programs that Congress approved have worked." He then asked him about how many loans in the PPP program. And Mnuchin told him that there had been about 5.2 million loans that have supported an extraordinary number of jobs for small businesses. Jordan said that he believed that the number of jobs supported through PPP was 51 million and counting. 85% of small businesses received support. And as testified to not too long ago, this had strong bipartisan support. This thing worked. You're not afraid to come and testify any and every time, because the programs that were put in place that the White House and the Trump administration and you supported have made a huge difference for this economy and are paying off now. If we didn't have PPP, we would be adding the 9 million jobs that you just saw, or would we be adding the 9 million jobs that you just saw in the last 3 months? And Mnuchin was certain that there was no way that they would have added those jobs. He said there are over 50% of the private jobs are to small businesses, and they have over $130 billion left in PPP. To which he said, if Congress was willing to take up a standalone action to repurpose this money for additional funds, I believe this would pass with overwhelming support in the House and Senate, and I would encourage the House to move forward with that. So not only do we still have, not only is PPP working, there's still $130 billion left in this fund to support people that are out of work. What we need to do is get these states that are still shut down to be opened up. And again, look, people are out there screaming, "Oh, the shutdown, it's all Trump's fault." No, it's not Trump's fault. Okay? And you can not believe me if you want to, but the proof is in the Constitution. The president has very, very little unilateral authority to keep states shuttered, even in the state we're in right now. Things would have to get a lot worse before the powers of the White House could be invoked to force a nationwide lockdown. As it is, this is not a power, at least at this point in time, that is enumerated to the administration, and therefore it falls to the states. This is the fault of the states individually, however they choose to handle it. It's their choice. It's their consequence. Elections have consequences, and choices have consequences. And these governors like Whitmer and Newsom, to name a couple, need to get off their ass, open their states up, and put people back to work. People are sick of it. I don't know. What do I know? I'm just some idiot ranting on the air. Hey, speaking of idiots, no, I'm kidding. Anyway, since January of 2020, nearly 5 million Americans purchased guns for the first time. Let me read that again. 5 million Americans purchased guns for the first time since January of this year, making up nearly 40% of all retail shop gun sales. And this is according to National Shooting Sports Foundation, which is the Firearm Industry Trade Association. The FBI's National Instant Background Check System shows that there were 12.1 million checks between January in July of 2020, an increase of 71.7% for the same time frame the year before. That equates to nearly 5 million first-time gun owners in the first seven months of 2020. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I am all about every citizen availing themselves of their constitutional rights. You have a right to keep and bear arms, and I believe that you should. I'm also a believer that you should know what you're doing with your firearm. There is not anything that mandates that in the Constitution. So there is some responsibility that goes with this. While you do have the right, there are limitations to rights. We've all dealt with this, whether we agree with it or not. So do be cautious. I encourage you to get trained on how to properly use your firearm if you're one of these first-time buyers. And even if you're a long-time owner that hasn't taken a course in a while, please at least sit down and refresh yourself with the proper care and maintenance and usage of your firearm. Just like we have the right to keep and bear arms, people do have the right to peaceably assemble and you know, protest. However, that ends. You're not a protester when you trespass. You're not a protester when you're rioting. You're not a protester when you're looting or burning down a business. That makes you a criminal. And if you are in possession of a firearm committing those criminal acts, you may have your rights taken away from you by the government. Like I said, there are differences between having the right and how you use the right. There are limitations. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't just shoot your gun at people. Be careful. So anyway, it's a tectonic shift in the firearm and ammunition industry marketplace and a complete transformation of today's gun-owning community, said Lawrence Keene of NSSF. These first-time buyers represent a group of people who until now were agnostic regarding firearm ownership. That's rapidly changing, and these Americans are taking hold of their God-given right to keep and bear arms and protect themselves and their loved ones. The NSSF data also shows that 58% of gun sales were among Black Americans, the largest increase of any demographic group. In addition, women comprised 40% of first-time gun purchasers. That's huge. Retail gun shops reported that ammunition sales between January and June increased 135% compared to the same time frame in the previous year. Now, folks, if you're like me and you shop ammunition, you know there's a shortage. There's a serious shortage, especially if you're looking for, say, nine millimeter. A lot of law enforcement agencies are moving back to carrying nine millimeters. I don't know why, but they are. And that is creating a shortage in the availability of firearms and nine millimeter ammunition. So a lot of first-time buyers, they go with the nine. It's a popular buy. No knock against it, but if you're a first-time buyer right now, you might want to actually start looking at maybe a 380, still a plenty lethal round, more than capable of doing the job, and a little more availability than the 9. So just a tip. Firearm sales typically rise during presidential election years, said the NSSF. However, this year, Democratic candidates Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are calling for stringent gun control measures, including forcible confiscation, banning entire classes of firearms from lawful possession, licensing schemes, and repealing the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, which would expose the firearm industry to frivolous and harassing lawsuits. Now, I'm telling you now, if Biden gets elected somehow, and God help us, I just saw that he's actually agreed to debate Trump, and I am certain that Fox News's damn, what was his name? Anyway, I forget. Anyway, Chris Wallace, that's who it is going to he's going to be conducting moderating the debate. So I'm sure he's going to be in everybody's business about everything. At least I hope so. I'd like to hear him torch Biden on what he's proposing for guns. And, and I would love to see a brilliantly pieced together reply from Trump to, rebut Biden's position. But I'm not holding out a great deal of hope for that. Because Biden's going to play on feelings, and he's going to try to throw that if it saves just one life garbage out there. But this is the guy that is also in favor of not only late term abortion, but post birth, just leaving the baby unattended until it dies, which is disgusting. And I would just like to see the Trump administration take advantage of the hypocrisy, because there's lots of it in the Biden platforms. And I really want to see a strong performance from the GOP side of the House in debates, because we really need it. I mean, I don't know whether you guys know it or not, but Biden is raising money hand over fist right now, $350 million in the last quarter. So, I mean, this is not a slam dunk. Trump's going to win this thing. No, it is not. Okay. A lot of people are predicting the landslide. I don't see the landslide. I don't. Trump does enough of stepping on his own junk that he has left the doors open. It's not what I want to see. But it's what I am seeing. So, I mean, if I'm wrong, point it out to me. Show me where I'm wrong. I'm willing to have the discussion. Anyway, the big thing this past week, I think anyway, in my opinion, has been the health and well-being and I guess you would say fitness for duty of President Trump. It was alleged that he had been evaluated and or treated for a stroke or a mini stroke. But Dr. Sean Conley, Trump's physician, issued a statement to reporters confirming that he had neither experienced nor had been evaluated for a stroke or a mini stroke or any other acute cardiovascular emergencies, and remains healthy and fit to execute the duties of his office. The president remains healthy, and there are no concerns about his ability to maintain the rigorous schedule ahead of him, Conley said. And NBC's Yamiche Alcindor posted on her Twitter page, as stated in my last report, I expect him to remain fit to execute the duties of the presidency. He added that he could confirm that Trump has not experienced nor been evaluated for any cerebrovascular incident, that would be stroke, transient ischemic attack, that'd be like a mini stroke or an almost stroke, or any acute cardiovascular emergencies, as have been incorrectly reported in the media. So, speculation was sparked on Monday in the New York Times. Go figure. You know, the people that advertise on it, when you need truth, turn to us. Yeah, right. I wouldn't turn to the New York Times if I needed to wrap fish. But speculation was sparked Monday in the New York Times after reporter Michael Schmidt, not Michael Jack Schmidt, formerly of the Phillies, wrote in his upcoming book that Vice President Pence had been placed on standby in November of 2019 when Trump was taken to Walter Reed Hospital. Pence did not assume the powers of the presidency, and Trump's late-night visit to Walter Reed was explained as being part of a physical. Trump slammed the rumors on Tuesday as fake news, tweeting that now they're trying to say that your favorite president, me, went to Walter Reed Medical Center having suffered a series of mini-strokes. Never happened to this candidate, fake news, he said. Perhaps they are referring to another candidate from another party. Now, look, folks, I'm not saying that Trump's 100% on the up and up here, but look, The Hill ran an article about his stroke, and they also claimed to have video footage of him dragging his foot. However, when I went to the article link and read the article, it was all supposition, and the video that they had teased didn't show anything on Trump's body below the waist. So how would we know? How do we know that he was dragging his foot? We don't. They're just saying it. They didn't show it. Obviously, if they had video footage of him dragging his leg like Quasimodo, they would have shown it. Right? But no, they want you to vote for Mr. I Can't Complete a Sentence, right, Rick?
No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say?
And we're going to create a new bio-based multi-manufacturing job environment to deal farmers in on the benefits of a changing economy.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it, more lives this year than any other year for the past 100 years.
Okay, so give me your rumors and your suppositions and your made-up stories, or give me Mr. Banana Pudding between the ears. I mean, come on, really? You want to talk about somebody that might have had a stroke? Call me when Trump's bleeding out of his eyes, okay?
That's an insult when to people who like banana pudding, just saying.
What's that?
That's an insult to people who actually like banana pudding, just saying.
Well, okay, we could say tapioca or rice pudding or something, I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. They're going to accuse Trump of not being well, but Biden keeps going on public display with these outbursts. Hey, fat, you're a dog-faced pony soldier and a liar. Yeah, I mean, come on. Really? And then we get the bumbled words like this. This dude can't finish a thought, can't piece together a sentence, and they're worried about Trump allegedly dragging his foot. I saw the still photo, and let me tell you, what they're calling dragging his foot, he was actually, his right foot was turned inward a little bit, and he might have been leaning on the outside of it just a hair, but he was walking too. It's a still photo. You can't get anything from a still photo. But if you look up at the top part of the photo, what you can see is he's got his fist raised in the air, showing, you know, like solidarity and power. And, you know, it didn't look like a man who was struggling to walk.
A decade, Megyn Kelly was a fixture here at.
Sorry about that. I don't know where that came from.
I don't either. I wasn't talking about that kind of bleeding. anyway. All right. Look, you know, again, just do your homework. Research the candidates. I'm not telling you who to vote for. That's your choice. I'm just telling you what I see. But again, willing to have the discussion with anybody that wants to, if they're reasonable. If you're unreasonable, don't bother me. Piss off. And I know there are unreasonable people that actually listen sometimes because, you know, believe it or not, your little snide comments aren't about things I put on Twitter. They're about things I say on the show. So I know you're out there listening, and that just makes my heart feel all warm and fluttery on the inside. Bunch of idiots. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour. We got to take a little commercial break. We're going to do that. Get your drinks refreshed, unnumb your butt, stretch your legs, whatever you got to do. I think we got about 3.5 minute break here, so go do it, and we'll be back in just a few.
One, two, what you doing? I've been jumping through some hoops. Wanna get my body loose, wanna tell you what to do. I've been running out of bounds like an animal struggling, looking for a diamond. I'm trying, I'm fighting, riding in the middle now.
Today, this breakfast isn't just breakfast. It might be the first McDonald's breakfast you're having at McDonald's again. This lunch might be a weekly tradition you hadn't had in weeks. And this dinner might be the first one you bought for not just you in a while. Whatever this order is for you, McDonald's will be here to take it.
Get more of the chicken you love with a delicious McChicken sandwich for $1. And for an extra buck, add a refreshing Dr. Pepper. Dining rooms are starting to reopen in certain communities at participating McDonald's. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Okay, odds are you're one of the people in America who's better off today than 3 years ago. And now you've got some smug Democrat calling you racist and trying to jam one hand in your ass and another in your pocket. So at a time when taxes are down, jobs are up, and the economy is way up, it'd be nice if there were a candidate who had more to offer than making you pay for other people's shit. Well, the eagle has landed. Say hello to President Donald J. Trump. He ain't just making America great again. Trump's doing things no president has ever done before. He's keeping promises, packing courts, defending the border, rebuilding our military, and making Chuck Schumer cry like a schoolgirl with two skinny knees. This president is 6'3" of let's put America first. And oh yeah, immigration, jobs, drug prices, nobody's got better numbers. The game has changed, and the Democrats are officially fucking crazy. So keep America great. Stand with Trump in 2020.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
There's nothing more predictable in life than the unexpected. Lightning will always strike. Hail will fall on roofs. Fortunately, there's AAA. AAA has been helping members stay prepared for over 100 years. So when unusual storms, fallen debris, or sudden leaks happen, you'll be covered. Check, check, and check. Get the home and auto insurance you need by talking with a AAA insurance agent today. Visit AAA.com/insurance or stop by your local AAA store.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I hope you got your drink refreshed, legs are feeling good, your butt's not numb anymore. It's a quick programming reminder first. Red Wine coming up at the top of the hour, followed by Amish and Robinson, or Robinson and Amish, or Horty, or whoever the hell you want to call them. The butter churning guy. Yeah, he'll be in. And then Rowdy Rick with America Off the Rails for your nightcap. So do stay tuned. We got the full night planned for you. Wednesday TV sucks a big pair of donkey ones anyway. So
just to clarify one point, I have it on good authority from the moms behind Circle K that that's not butter. Just saying.
Well, you know, it has been rumored that he was a paste salesman at one time, too. So, yeah, I get it. Oh, man, we're going to burn in hell one day, but it's going to be fun until then. All right, so
whoever gets their first save seats, it's okay.
That's right. That's right. I'll have the ice water. Don't worry about that. Anyway, all right. So we kept the first half of the show domestic. We got to jump overseas a little bit because this is a topic we've talked about before a few times on the program. And, it's starting to raise its ugly head again. So we got to talk about it again. Over the weekend in Norway and Sweden, there were a bunch of anti-Islamization rallies, which sparked violent unrest and drew angry reactions from Muslim governments and a UN official, as a Scandinavian expert anticipated further clashes to come. Now, these incidents erupted after far right. Notice they always try to pin it on far right activists, desecrated copies of the Quran, because that never happens, right? Nobody ever does that to the Quran. Turkey and Pakistan were quick to condemn those actions, demanding a response from European leaders. The EU has yet to comment officially on the matter, and Turkey's foreign minister or ministry described the groups behind the rallies as quote unquote Nazi remnants. Really? And so now what we're seeing here is we've got Turkey and Pakistan trying to play the political left game of cards here, to where anybody that doesn't think like they do is a Nazi or Hitler. Trump is Hitler. Trump needs to ban all the guns so that Hitler only has guns. What? You know, that's their logic. So, people, I'm sorry. If I were living in a country that had a bunch of immigrants in it that were ungrateful, sponging off workers and creating unrest through, physical assaults, rapes, arson, murder, I would be a little unhappy if I lived in a country like that. Oh, hey, wait a minute. I kind of do. Look, here's the thing. These countries opened up their doors and took in these immigrants. Now, you can say what you want to about whether you agree with that or disagree with that. The fact is they took these people in. Then many of these people, I'm not saying all of them, Okay. Some of these people act like animals. They're forming gangs that are so powerful that police refuse to go into neighborhoods. And I know you think that doesn't really happen because you heard some reporter say that. It does happen. I have friends in Europe. They live it. They see it. I don't care what some left-wing reporter that works at some mullet wrapper paper or online media outlet has to say about it, because they're full of crap. And until they're in the middle of it, They don't know. So here we have Norwegians and Swedes saying enough is enough. We're tired of your violence. We didn't have this before we allowed you in. Who's wrong? What's the answer? Oh, but because they were sparked violent unrest. Because why? Because Muslims went out to not let them protest. That's why. In Norway and Sweden, you also have a right to peacefully protest. I looked it up. You do not have a right to go out and physically assault somebody because they think differently than you, or because they don't like the way you think. They're allowed to think what they want. If they're not out there beating you with their protest sign, you don't have a right to go out there and bother them. If somebody goes to the store and buys a Bible or buys an American flag and sets it on fire, so what? You don't have to like it. If the Supreme Court says that's their right, that's their right. I don't know who you would appeal to after that. You could certainly work to have laws passed, but you can't just start demanding that something be instantly changed. Not like the left. You know, look, there are a bunch of crybabies on the left. You did something I don't like. We have to stop that right now. No, we don't have to stop that right now. Differences of opinion are what this country was founded on. The right to have them and express them and to have that open discord peacefully. Not burning down somebody's building, not burning down somebody's house, not coming to their house and threatening them. That's not peaceful discord. So the Turkish foreign ministry says, we call on European politicians and European institutions to take this threat seriously and to fight against it. What right does Turkey or Pakistan have to tell Norway or Sweden how to run their country? What is the purpose of that? Why would they even care? I have a theory behind that. I don't think I'm ready to share that theory just yet, but I do have a theory as to why they care. They say such provocative actions target not only Muslims, but also the rule of law and democratic systems. These Nazi remnants surround and damage society like a virus, because radicalized Muslims don't ever do that, right? They don't ever surround and damage society like a virus. You know, in Pakistan, where Islam is the state religion, Foreign Office spokesperson Zahid Hafiz Chowdhury said the rise of Islamophobic occurrences goes against the spirit of any religion. Hey, guess what? A lot of those people in Nordic countries, they were pagans. They don't care about your religion. They don't care about any religion. Some of them do. Some of them have converted to whatever, whether it's Catholicism or straight up Protestantism. Who's to say? But a lot of these countries were based on paganism to begin with. And certainly there are those roots left as well. Freedom of speech can't justify religious hatred, they said. Yes, actually, it can. It can. And if that's the case, then where were these countries when Iran and Iraq and other places were, you know, calling Jews scum of the earth and dogs and you know, just trashing the Jewish people in this world, especially in Israel. No outrage then, right? Only if it's happening to Muslims in countries other than their own. Because they kill their own right and left, but, you know, God help you, somebody else should start killing Muslims. So he says that ensuring respect for religious beliefs of others is a collective responsibility and is absolutely critical for global peace and prosperity. Okay, that's a nice game, except that's not what you practice. Because there is no respect and a collective responsibility to respect other religious beliefs by Muslims. Not all. Some of them are fine to practice Islam and leave it alone just at that. They don't try to push it on other people. They don't try to kill people. They just practice their religion. That's what it's about. Okay? I have no problem with that. The minute, though, the minute that you start forcing people to try to believe a certain way, it's like Biden's comment about this election coming up. Or actually, let's even back up from that. The shutdown. Biden made the comment, let's use this shutdown to recreate America the way it should have been. Does that scare the hell out of anybody else? He actually said that. So, the U.S. government has designated Pakistan, home to the world's most notorious blasphemy laws, as a country of particular concern. That's in quotations. Country of particular concern for egregious and systematic religious freedom violations. See, this is the hypocrisy I was telling you about. You know, God help you if you believe differently than the state of Pakistan, because they'll come execute you. But send a Pakistani to another country and, oh, you better let him practice his religion, because that would be uncivilized if you don't.
Wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly wrong. On Saturday, Norwegian police used tear gas to end clashes between Stop Islamization of Norway supporters and counter-protesters, which began after a protester tore pages from a Quran and spat on them. 29 people were arrested. Now look, the Quran is no different than a Bible. If somebody spends their money to buy a Quran, they're entitled to do with it as they please. It's their property. You don't have to like it. You don't have to look at them do it. Turn your back. Walk away. But I mean, I guess how would I expect people to do that when they can't even scroll past a damn tweet on Twitter that they disagree with without making a gigantic jackass of themselves? A day earlier, several hundred Muslims in the Swedish town of Malmo burned tires, smashed bus shelters. Now see, this is where you're not peacefully protesting, and threw objects at police, angered by the setting alight of a Quran by a far-right activist. Again, far-right. How do they know? If they're not naming the activist and know anything about him, how can they determine that he's far-right? At least 6 arrests were made, as well there should be. You're committing arson. You're committing vandalism. You're assaulting police officers. Yeah, there's going to be arrests. Anti-Islam groups in both countries have invited Rasmus Paludan, the leader of a Danish anti-immigration party, to address meetings and were angered after Sweden on Friday barred him from entering the country, slapping him a 2-year ban. Scandinavia is historically viewed as a welcoming haven for refugees and migrants, but the issue became increasingly divisive there, as it did elsewhere in Europe as a result of the refugee crisis resulting from the Syrian civil war. And actually, the problem isn't even that it's so many migrants. The problem is their behavior. They flee war, so they don't have to live like animals, and then they go to other countries and act like animals. Now, according to a report published by the Brookings Institute back in March, Sweden took in a record 162,000 asylum seekers in 2015, primarily from Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. The right-wing Sweden Democrats became the parliament's now third-largest party, mirroring situations in Germany and Spain, where the alternative Für Deutschland and Vox, respectively, have seen growing support. Norway, which admitted 31,145 asylum seekers in 2015, has witnessed a rise in populism since the far-right Fremskrittspartiet party entered parliament in 2013. Lars-Erik Berntsen, a professor of comparative politics at the University of Bergen in Norway, said the violence that resulted from anti-Islam events over the weekend could lead to further clashes in the days ahead, both on the streets and online. He said there was a risk that young Muslims, particularly men, may respond violently. You think? They are able to justify opposition to the police on the grounds that the authorities do nothing if their religion is violated. What about violating other people's religion and or persons? Meanwhile, Miguel Angel Martinez, head of the UN Alliance of Civilizations, called the actions of the anti-Islam radicals an affront to the values of the initiative, which seeks to defuse tensions between the Western and Islamic worlds. Such deplorable acts perpetrated by hate mongers, including far-right extremists and other radical groups, incite violence and tear apart the fabric of our communities, Martinez said, a former Spanish foreign minister. Now, I got news for Mr. Martinez, okay? I'm hip to you, dude. I already know that you are from the Catalan province in Spain, and I know that you have big, huge Muslim money backing you personally for whatever your endeavors in the UN are and whatever political agendas you're trying to push, especially heading up the separation of the Catalan state from the rest of Spain. So to say that this man is unbiased would be laughable at best. Anyway, look, I didn't have enough. I was even telling Rick as he was doing the intro stuff, I didn't have enough material, and yet we're not going to get to everything. it's crazy. I know. But let's see. What can I do real fast here? Oh, yeah, a new state bill introduced by Senator Scott Wiener, Democrat of San Francisco, in their state house, could change the way young offenders, specifically those who identify as LGBT, are put on the state's sex offender registry list. Interesting. Currently, while consensual sex between 15 to 17-year-olds and a partner within 10 years of age is legal, vaginal intercourse between the two does not require an offender to register as a sex offender. Other forms of intercourse, such as oral and anal intercourse, require sex offender registration. That practice, according to Wiener, disproportionately targets young LGBT people who usually cannot engage in vaginal intercourse. Senate Bill 145 would put an end to what he calls blatant discrimination against young LGBT people engaged in consensual activity. So according to Wiener, SB 145 would not change the legality of the forms of intercourse and would not change the potential sentence for having sex with an underage person. Instead, the bill would give judges the ability to evaluate whether the accused be required to register as a sex offender. So this bill's targeting LGBT people. So basically what he's saying is they're partially decriminalizing pedophilia, but only for homosexuals. And now an 18-year-old could molest an 8-year-old because that is the 10-year window that they're proposing, and not end up on the sex offender registry. That's what – look, folks, you wondered how they would actually try to force the normalization of pedophilia? Here it comes. Here it comes. But we're not going to end the show on a negative note. We're going to go out on a high note. We all know that there was a big hurricane named Laura that came blowing through the Louisiana coast. All newborn babies are fragile, but none more so than those whose first days are spent in neonatal intensive care. When Hurricane Laura threatened the city of Lake Charles, Louisiana, a mandatory evacuation was ordered. But for 19 of its newest residents, leaving was pretty much impossible. Members at Lake Charles Memorial Hospital were adamant if the babies couldn't be evacuated safely, they would remain behind with them until the danger passed. With wind gusts of up to 135 miles per hour hammering down, neonatologist Dr. Juan Bassano, along with a team of 14 nurses, two neonatal nurse practitioners, three respiratory therapists, stayed behind in the NICU caring for the tiny charges in shifts as the storm raged through the night. Early in the babies had been ferried from the single-story Lake Charles Memorial Hospital for women to the hospital's sturdier 10-floor main building. Some of the infants were on respirators or ventilators. Some were born premature as early as 23 weeks. Matt Felder, director of the communications for the Lake Charles Memorial Health System, said, "We transferred 19 NICU babies from that facility to our main campus in record time, 19 babies across the city in under 2 hours with tremendous special needs." And he commended the doctors, the nurses, and everybody else that stayed behind and made this happen, and successfully. Now, folks, that's what I'm talking about. That's the way to end the show on a positive note. That's it for tonight. The Red Wine's getting ready to come up next. That's me. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, you need new ones. But they and you are welcome with me every Wednesday on KLRN Radio for the Conservative Curmudgeon Show. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace!
One, two, what you doing? I've been jumping through some hoops. Wanna get my body loose. Wanna tell you what to do. I've been running out of bounds like an animal struggling. Looking for a diamond. I'm trying. I'm fighting. Riding in the rhythm now. I just wanna stay.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
Here's to us. Here's to love. All the times that we messed up. Here's to you. Feel the grass. Cause the last few lines have kicked my ass. If they give you hell, it's time to go fuck themselves.
Go fuck
here's
themselves.
To here's to us.
Here's to us.
Here's to us.
To us.